Friday, the 16th of January, Kof Teves, Rabbi Avraham Hassan. Why did we need to be slaves in Mitzrayim?
Good morning. Vayomer Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, Yodoya Tadah, you should know. Your children are going to be strangers in the land which is not theirs. They're going to make them work. They're going to make them suffer. 400 years. I'll also judge the nation that enslaves them. They'll come out then with great profit, great wealth. So even before we were born, already it was decided that we had to be slaves and we had to suffer. Why? I'm sure there's many hundreds of answers. We'll try and look into one of them. I'll start with an anecdote I heard from Moshe Eisenman Schlitter, the Mashkiach of Baltimore. There's a guy in the States called Dennis Prager. He's a columnist and speak on the radio, and one of the things he does, used to do, is go around schools trying to engage kids to think about issues which are important in life. And he's got a standard line which he takes, and he tells them the following: you've gone for a walk on a beautiful day next to a massive big river, and you have your pet puppy with you, and you love this puppy, and this puppy loves you. You get on like a house on fire. You spend hours together, you love each other, and the puppy runs ahead, and it's a beautiful day, you're enjoying this weather, the sky, the clouds, beautiful day, and the puppy runs ahead and there's a stranger coming towards you. The puppy runs ahead, gets entangled in the legs of the stranger, and they both fall into a strongly flowing river, flowing very fast towards you, and they're drowning, and you have your certificate in life saving, and you're going to jump in and save one. Which one do you save, the puppy or the stranger? That's a standard question. And across the country, there is roughly a 50% divide in the answer. Approximately half the kids say they'll save the stranger, and half the kids say they'll save the puppy. Okay. Then he goes on to another question. He says to those who said that they would save the stranger, what do you think about your friends who say they'll save the puppy? And everybody answers, they're entitled to their opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. We live in a society where everybody is entitled to his opinion. Autonomy. Only you can decide for yourself what you should do with your life. Nobody has the right to tell you. Don't harm anybody, don't disturb anybody, but you must decide for yourself. You're entitled to, it's your right. And sociologists say this is the hallmark of modernity. Modern times, in the past couple of hundred years, this has become the big sort of underpinning of society, of politics, of everything. You are entitled to your opinion, personal autonomy, which is a change from the days when the church used to keep a grip on everybody's way of thinking in Europe. Other parts of the world, in Islam, maybe it's different, but in Europe, this was a mega change. And for us, in a sense, it's good. Certainly better than living under communism. But how modern is this idea of autonomy, of being entitled to your opinion? Who was the first character in history to suggest that someone is entitled to their opinion? The first character in history is to say you are entitled to your opinion. Pun?
Cain.
No, earlier.
Adam.
Huh?
Adam.
Not earlier than Adam. Wait, contemporary. The Nachash was the first one. The Nachash came to Chava and said, Chava, I think you're a lemela. You're not assertive enough. You do what your husband tells you, and your husband does what Kosh Borcho says, but why don't you think for yourself? Kosh Borcho controls everything.
The Yisun Kelokim, you can be like a bunch of other. He's Baal Kalakoyfus Kulam. Why should he be Baal Kalakoyfus Kulam? Why should he control? He control everything. Why can't you have an opinion? Says that Tzadok HaKohen, she was Boicher Babechira. Before she chose to eat from the Eitz Hadaas, she first had to decide to decide. Because unless you decide to decide, you can't decide. That was the first thing. Am I entitled to make my own decisions? Or do I have to listen to somebody else? Am I entitled to my opinion? The Nachash said, you are. Think for yourself. You're entitled to your opinion. So she exercised her autonomy, she decided she's entitled to her opinion, and you know what followed after that. Says the Rambam in Moir and Nevuchim, before the Chet, there was only Emes and Sheker. Truth and falsehood, clear, objective truth and falsehood. After the Chet, it becomes Toiv Vara. Does it suit me, or does it not suit me? Is it good for me, or not good for me? Toiv vara. Toiv vara is subjective. I decide what's good for me, what's bad for me. Before the Chet, it was emes. What's the reality? Not what do I want. There's a big difference. That, according to Rambam, is the change which took place with the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Ramchal, Derech Hashem, points out there's two sides to every mitzvah. Every mitzvah has a built-in power to affect you. It does something to your neshama, something to your system. Every mitzvah has a power. There's something else in every mitzvah. Even if it didn't have a power, you are listening to Ribono Shel Olam. And if a mitzvah had no meaning and you still did it because Ribono Shel Olam says do a mitzvah, you've achieved something. You are listening to Ribono Shel Olam. You're acknowledging he is the boss. He's the authority. When Chava chose to choose and decide for herself, she was challenging the authority. Who is the boss? Is Ribono Shel Olam the boss? Or am I going to be the boss of my own life and make my own decisions for myself? She basically questions, should I accept the authority of Ribono Shel Olam? I want to have my own opinion. In other words, I know better. I'm asserting myself. She was challenging Malchus. Who is the melech? Who is the boss? Who is the controller? Who runs the show? And by challenging Malchus, she was asserting that she's denying the superiority of Ribono Shel Olam. It's me. I do what I want, and not you. Asserting herself and denying Ribono Shel Olam. After that, I want my pleasure, I want my desire. He told her it's a machal, tava hulai na'im. But before she could go and want to enjoy herself, she had to assert her right to be the one to decide. And she had to challenge the authority of Ribono Shel Olam. Chazal called the effect of the head zuhama, pollution. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kufim Vav. Why are the idolaters mezuhomin? Shelo omdu al har Sinai, because it did not come to har Sinai. Shebeshah shebo nachash on Chava, when the nachash bo al Chava, which sounds as if he married her, we'll see in a minute. He tilba zuhama, he injected her with pollution, zuhama. Yisrael she'omdu al ha-Sinai paska zuhamotam. When Yisrael came to ha-Sinai, when they came there, the zuhama went away. Oib de'kochovim she'loyomdu al ha-Sinai, the idolaters who did not stand at ha-Sinai, loy paska zuhamotam, the zuhama did not go away. Just by the way, we have to get clear what it means, or what does not mean. Yeshebo nachash al-chava says Yarizal chalila chalila, to take this literally. Rashi says, there, when the Gemara says, "Keshenosel la'etza," when he gave her the advice to eat from the Eitz Hadaas, bo aleha, he came upon her. Dichtiv, as it is written, "Hanachash hishiani," he encouraged me. Loshem nisuin, he married me. There was a connection between Chava and the snake. Says Rabbi Yizhar, Chalila, Zoher veHishomer beNafshecha meOid meOid. Be very, very, very careful. Don't take it literally. Hadevorin kepashtan. Chalila leha min hadevorin kepashtan. Chas v'shalom, don't take these words literally. There was no physical connection. The Nachash injected an idea into the personality, into the mind of Chava, and she took it in. She absorbed an idea from the Nachash. I am entitled to my opinion. I can challenge Ribon Shmoylam. I will decide what I want to do. That is the foundation of a Zuhama. It then goes further into Taiva, but it starts with I'm Boicher Babbechira. I choose, I want to be the one to make my choices. So Chava accepted, absorbed, integrated into her system this idea that she should be entitled to her opinion and challenge Malchus Shemayim. And this was part of humanity. Till we came to Har Sinai, and we got the Zuhama out of our system. The Umos HaOlam did not come to Har Sinai, they did not accept the Torah, and the Zuhama remains in them. Now, you know all the stories about, or the Medroshim, about coming to Har Sinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu offering the Torah. The Pasuk says, Hashem Misinai Bo, Zorach Miseir, Lamo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shone forth from Seir, Horfia Mehar Paran, it came from Har Paran. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you've heard this, I'm sure, yeah? Melamesh Hezid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Uma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Torah around to every single nation, Ve'loshen to every language, Ve'loiki Bluha, they didn't want it. So he came to Bnei Yisrael, the Kivluha, he came from Seir, Esav, he came from Paran, from Ishmael. They said no, and we said yes. And there's a more detailed version in Sifri. HaKadosh Baruch did not reveal himself only in Klal Yisrael, also in Umos HaOlam. And he came to Bnei Esav and he said, do you want the Torah? And they said, what's written in it? HaKadosh Baruch says, Loishir Tzachdor, murder. And they said, Ribono Shel Olam, Kol Atom Shavihim, our whole essence of our ancestor is Achar Bechatichia. I'm sorry, we can't say that. So he came to Bnei Loit and they said, Bnei Omun Amoy of Bnei Loit, and he said to them, do you want the Torah? What's written in it? Loisinaf, don't commit adultery. He said, no, our whole essence is Aroyos, we can't take it. He came to Bnei Ishmael, do you want the Torah? They said, no, what's written in it? What signal don't steal? No. Kol Asmos El Avihem, the essence of our ancestor Ishmael, listing Pere Odom, Yado Bakol, Viyad Kolbo, he's a wild ass of a human. His hand is everywhere, everybody's against him, he's against everybody, and he's always stealing. No, we can't accept it. Lohaisa Uma Ba'umos, there was not one nation that Oshvor didn't go to, didn't knock on their doors, and they all said no. What did they all ask? What's written in it? In other words, we are entitled to our opinion and to make our own decision. Don't tell us what to do. You ask us, we'll think about it, we'll consider it, and we say, no, we don't want it, thank you very much. We are entitled to our opinion. The whole discussion is Ne'uma saying we must have our own opinion whether we want it or not. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha, once said at the peak of the abortion controversy in the United States, he said, how come Bnei Esav refused the Torah because it says, Vosirtzach, don't kill? Have you ever heard of any civilized nation which doesn't have a law in its law book saying, don't kill? Any nation with a system of law, one of the first things is murder is a crime in society. How can they refuse the Torah because it says don't murder? They didn't refuse the Torah because it says don't murder. They refused that the Torah should be the one, HaKadosh Baruch should be the one to tell them not to murder and tell them what is murder. We want the right to decide what is murder, and we will make the laws for ourselves according to the way we think it should be. And today killing an old person is murder, tomorrow it will be euthanasia and it won't be murder, and today an abortion is murder and tomorrow it will not be murder. We will decide. We are entitled to our opinion. Don't tell us what to do, God. We decide what to do. It's not the law. It's who imposes the law. Malchus. Who is the Melech? Who is the boss? they wanted to hold on totally to their opinion. This is Zuhama. This is the pollution. Bnei Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma. No desire for autonomy. No question, no restrictions on the Ribono Shel Olam's authority. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech. You say it, we'll do it. We don't want to read the small print. Nothing. Give us a contract, we'll sign without reading it. This was the peak of achievement for Klal Yisrael. The peak of achievement. The Shah Sheikh Dimi Yisrael Nasir and Ishmael Bo Shishim Ribel Shemalach Ashara, 600,000 Malachim came and gave them crowns. Shnek Sorim, one can make a Nasir, one can make a Nishma. Kalosh Baruch Hu said, Migila Roz Zelebona, who revealed the great secret to my children, the secret that only Malach Ashara can use, to be Makdim Nasir and Ishmael. You are not like humans, like Malachim. It was Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim. This decision to accept Ribono Shel Olam's opinion without any question is a complete reversal of the Chet of Adam HaRishon. The essence of the Chet was, I want to decide for myself, what do I want? Bnei Yisrael said, Ribono Shel Olam, we don't decide, you decide. This is a tikkun of the Chet of Adam HaRishon. We accept Malchus Shamayim. We don't want autonomy. And this is the difference between Yisrael and Umas Olam. Umas Olam say, we want to decide what we want to do with our lives. We'll make a democratic vote. And Bnei Yisrael says, no, Ribono Shel Olam decides, we don't decide. You're the boss. The emes is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the boss. And this is the first emes which allows the relationship with Ribono Shel Olam. Anybody who thinks he's the boss is in Sheker. So he's not. Matthias is not the boss. The reality is the emissary of Kadosh Baruch is the boss. After the Chet, people think, I am the boss. That's the Sheker. And then he moves into Toi Varai. Suits me, doesn't suit me. Malchus is the interface between Kadosh Baruch and people. It's the beginning of the relationship. You can't have a relationship with God without accepting Malchus Shemayim. The Chet of Adam HaRishon was, this started with rejection of Malchus Shemayim. The tikkun was achieved with Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim at Har Sinai. But there's another Gemara, you know. Vayoytze Moshe's Ha'am Likras Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu took us out to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a machane. Vayisyatzevu Betachtis Ha'har. We all stood Betachtis Ha'har at the foot of the mountain. Chazal Darshan, don't read at the foot of the mountain, under the mountain. Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chasa Melamed, this passage tells you Shekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Har Kegigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Har Sinai and inverted it over Bnei Yisrael like a barrel and encased them and said, if you accept the Torah, fine, and if not, Shem Tekev Oroskem, you're finished, that's the end, I'll kill you all. The old question is, and many answers, this is Nasa Venishma. Why does the need Harkigigis? The Goy should have had a Harkigigis. Why do we need a Harkigigis? Says the Maharal, yeah, we said Nasa Venishma. We did, didn't we? There's a little problem here. Little problem. Who decided to say Nasa Venishma? We decided to say Nasa Venishma, right? Whose decision was it? Our decision. We decided, we think we should say Nasa Venishma. That's very dangerous. Today, you decide, I want to say Nasa Venishma. And since I decided today, I want to say Nasa Venishma, tomorrow I'll say, no, thank you, Ribono Shel Olam, I might change my mind. I voted in the general meeting in favor that time round, and next time we'll have another general meeting, I'll vote against it. It's my vote, it's my decision, it's a democracy. I decided. Says Ribono Shel Olam, no way. Moshe Rabbeinu Boitza, he says, thank you very much, he said, Nasa Venishma. Wonderful! It is wonderful! Now, I want to show you something. It's not your choice. Because if you think it's your choice, you'll choose another way, a different day. It's not your choice. It's not a democracy. Democracy is part of the Zuhara. To think you're entitled to your opinion, that's a mistake. It's not your opinion. It's emes and sheker. What's the emes? Not what do you think. What's the emes? once we said Nasa Venishma, we were ready to move on to higher Madrega of Emes. First you need to say Nasa Venishma, otherwise you can't. But once you've committed to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up Shemaim and shows you, you know something? That's an Emes. It's not your choice. And once you see it's an Emes, then you can't back out of it. That's Harka Gigi. You can't pull out anymore. You see the reality and you know you can't pull out anymore. We had to shift from Toi Vara back to Emes HaSheker. And we did. That was the Harka Gigi. Obviously these Midrashim are not meant to be taken literally. The concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing us so clearly, we just could not ever back out again. So by accepting Malchus Shamayim, one can rise to the next level of seeing Emes HaSheker. Then we lose Abachira, but that's fine. That's a goal we're aiming for. To get to the point where the Emes is so clear, we can't do wrong. So we reach the level of Adam Arishon Koidem Achet. And Yamarti Elohim Atem Uvnei Elyon Kulechem. Okay. How come we were able to reach that Nadrega of cancelling out our opinion, our desire to make our minds up ourselves, we were able to reach Har Sinai and say Na'aseh V'Nishma? How can we achieve that level of tikkun and nobody else did? We don't have it fully today because of the Chet HaEgel, but we have the foundation is there. We have the Torah now, which is that whole Na'aseh V'Nishma, the whole system, the whole Emes is there. But how can we reach that level at that point? Imagine your wife employs a cleaner and tells her to clean the kitchen. And the cleaner says, no, madam, I'm not cleaning the kitchen now, I'm doing the bathroom now. And the next day she says, clean the main bedroom. Oh no, I'm not doing the bedroom now, I'm doing the dining room. How long will that cleaner last in your home? Won't last, will she? And if you're an employer and you have employees, and you tell your employees to do something, and say, oh no sir, we're not doing that, we're doing something else, how long will that employee last in your employment? Yes? No? Won't last, will they? And they're not even slaves. When you employ somebody, they're not entitled to their opinion. You pay them to do what you want them to do. And imagine a person is a slave. Has a slave got an opinion? How much of an opinion has a slave got? Is a slave entitled to make any decisions? Nothing! Can you begin to understand why we needed to be Mitzrayim? The whole problem of humanity was, I am entitled to my opinion. Yes? Are you with me? What was the problem of the Chet of Adam HaRishon? I want to do what I want. That's dangerous. We have to realize there is a boss. And the boss is the boss, the boss. And not me. We have to learn that we are not the boss. We have to be trained for years to move into a mood and understanding that I'm not entitled to my opinion. And unless we can get rid of that feeling that I am entitled to my opinion, we'll never be able to accept Malchus Shamayim. What was the Rechush Gadol which we gained when we came out of Mitzrayim? Gold and silver. What's the greatest achievement we achieved? We learned to be able to accept authority of a boss, whether we liked it or not, and we didn't. Va'avadum ve'inoisam. It was terrible, but we learned something. We learned that we can get rid of the feeling I do what I want, because I couldn't do what I wanted for 86 years. Couldn't do what we wanted. We had to be strangers be'eretz lo lahem. Again, a person in a strange land feels. You can't stop coming along to a strange place and making and telling people what to do. You're a stranger. A stranger, a slave, oppressed. The beginning of the tikkun, of the head of Adam HaRishon, had to start with that.
So one of the possible reasons that Hashem made a slave in Mitzrayim was because that was the only way to elevate us to the level that we'd be able to come to Har Sinai and say Na'aseh v'nishma and complete the achievement with Kabbalah Sotah. Thank you very much.